Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. So turn with me to page number 9. Page number 9.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go.
That's the message. The way of the cross leads home. And that's what the world needs. More Jesus.
Amen.
It's good to be here this morning. And if you weren't outside yesterday, it was hot. And Cindy made me work all day long. And I was doing some weed control. And I don't like to get that chemical on me, so I had some rubber gloves on. And when I took them off, they were just full of water. And so if you're outside and about in the heat, please, please, please drink plenty of fluids and don't get too hot. I've been too hot before and it's no fun. Takes a long time to get over it if you ever do. Brother Sam was here. He could tell you the same thing. He's had trouble with that in the past. So just be careful. This morning on our way to church, it was already 81. That was about 9:30. So it's going to be hot. It's the middle of July. I've had people in the past ask me, what's August going to be like this year? Well, I don't know. What was August like last year and the year before? And it's hot. It's hot. So that's where we're at. So be careful. It is good to be here. We had a good class this morning. Brother Sam and Miss Donna weren't able to be here, so we combined our classes. And I thought it went very well. Thank you, Jeff, for a good class. And Mandy for doing the Zoom, and we look forward to seeing Brother Sam and Miss Donna soon. Okay, we don't have a lot on the list of announcements. It's pretty short. I'd like, you know, I can't. It's not been that long ago till I remember when this list of upcoming events was long, and you wondered how you fit it all in, and now it's short. And I wish it was long again. So I guess we're never happy, are we? But I miss the gatherings. But the only announcement we really have this morning is that next Sunday, July the 19th, will be our Brother Walter's fund to help him and his family as they continue to go to the doctor. And if you've ever been through any part of what he's going through, you know that the medical bills are, they come around about three or four times a day at least. So thank you for what you've already done, but prepare for that next Sunday. All right. Anything else? The building committee meeting was going to meet Friday evening, to look at our pad for our fellowship hall. We had to postpone that, so possibly we'll get to do that this Friday, hopefully, as we move forward. All right, any other announcements? Anything I've missed?
Turn with me to page number 98. Page 98.
In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will e'er be found. We shall rise, we shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning. As prison bars are broken, we shall rise, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, what a meeting it will be. We shall rise, we shall rise. When our fathers and our mothers and our loved ones we shall see, we shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning. When death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, we shall meet Him in the air. We shall rise, we shall rise. And be carried up to glory, to our home so bright and fair. We shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning. When death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise, we shall rise.
You know, one of these days we are going to rise. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, there's no doubt about it. When He calls us home, we're going to rise. And so this next song kind of goes along with this, page number 135. Because when we get there, ain't it going to be wonderful?
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Back a few weeks ago, I was approached to sing this song. Sister Mary asked me to do it, and it's a beautiful song, beautiful words. Haven't done it in a while, and we didn't really have any special music this morning, so somehow it just worked out Brother Sam, we're going to have special music this morning. It's an old song called Sweet Beulah Land.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm looking now across that river to where my faith is gonna end in sight. Just a few more days, just a few more days to labor, then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
I was hoping you was going to sing another one. Thank you, Brother Gene. I love that song as well. Thank you, Mary, for requesting that. It is going to be a wonderful day when we get to be there.
Amen.
I'm longing for it. Well, we just finished up about a 7-sermon series on the church, and moving on from there. So it's been a good study and a good series. I thought I enjoyed it very much. And I want to ask you something this morning as I kind of switch gears a little bit. And this part of this sermon is going to be a little bit hard. So if you're just bear with me to the end, okay? Listen to what I'm trying to say, and sometimes I'm afraid that I'm guilty as well as maybe some others. When I get to a certain point, I want to turn my ears off, and just bear with me is all I'm asking. I have a point to make, and I may talk about a few things that we may disagree with on. It's not scriptural though, so I'll just ask that you will please to indulge me for just a little bit. All right, here we are on July the 12th of 2020. This year's half gone, and what a year it's been. My goodness, I don't know of any year in our history that's been as upside down, and tipsy-turvy is the one that we're in the middle of right now, and sadly to say, I don't think it's over with yet. If we're honest with ourselves, Christians, we need to be paying close attention to the things, the events that are going on, not only in our nation, but in the world. If you'll think for just a second from God's perspective and from a Christian perspective and the things that we stand on and the things that we preach and teach, as we look at the world today, our world is being shredded, torn apart, ripped apart right before our very eyes. I'm going to be reading a couple of scriptures out of Mark chapter 13, Revelation 13, Revelation 19. Sadly to say, I don't think that a lot of the things that are going on right now are going to stop anytime soon. So what do we do then, Christian brother and sister? What do we do in a world that's upside down like this? Have faith in God. Because in all reality, that's the only thing we have anyway, no matter what's going on. So have faith. I want you, this is going to be a sermon that has to deal with a lot of Bible prophecy mixed in with some things that are going on in the world today. Think about this. God has given His completed Word of God to us. It contains many prophecies that He's given to us so that we can see the signs of the time. Now, we can stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and ignore what's going on around us. But God gave us what we need to understand, I think, where we're at. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 22. Jesus Himself was speaking here. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Folk, the elect, I believe, until the church is raptured, is you and I. That's us. After the church is raptured, you've heard me preach on this many times in the past, the elect switches back to Israel. I'm not going to preach about that today, but I think that it changes gears there. But take heed, Christian brother and sister, for I believe that we're in the last of the last days of the church age. We need to open our eyes and look realistically at the things being proposed not only in our nation, but also around the world, and then weigh them against God's Word, God's prophecy. Bible prophecy is nothing more than God writing history in advance. Now, I would submit to you today that the things that some of it are hard, is hard for us to understand, but the things that God has prophesied that will come to pass, part of what I'm going to talk about this morning, it's going to happen just like it's already happened. We have the signs of the times, but we also need to remember that Satan, he's a wily old devil, customer, if you will, and he is seeking to deceive the whole human race into following him. That's what he's always wanted. It's not ever changed. Why was he kicked out of heaven? He wanted to be God. He didn't want to be like God. He wanted to be God. And God booted him out because of it. He hasn't given up. Even though we know from the Bible and the Scripture and prophecy that he's a defeated foe, he hasn't given up. We've talked at length in our studies in Revelation and Daniel other prophetic books about the things to come. Listen, I want you to know this morning, I know this is a little bit of a dark sermon, but we Christians need to understand that this is happening around us even as we speak. That this world for a short period of time after the rapture of the church is going to be ruled, if you will, by Satan and his unholy trinity. How that this world is going to be torn apart by God's wrath and things that are going to happen. It's going to be a terrible place to be as Satan struggles to impose his will on all of mankind. I submit to you this morning that it's already a pretty bad place to be. But think what it's going to be like after that. One of the things coming to mankind, humans, as Braden likes to say, who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, is the mark of the beast, which signifies that they belong to Him. It's coming. This is kind of scary. And this mark, as we read just a minute ago, if it were possible, would even be imposed upon the very elect. God's chosen people would even be deceived. Now, you and I know the Bible would say it. Who know the Bible at this? You and I who know the Bible would say at this point that if you're a born-again believer, you won't take the mark. I truly believe that. If you truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't take the mark of the beast. I do not believe a born-again believer can take it. But don't be naive, friend. There will be many, some of who even claim to be something that they're not, who will be led right down that path and readily accept. Maybe even many who just don't know any different. They'll follow. Even maybe many who have been in church for a lot of times over their life, but have never truly accepted Jesus Christ. They'll believe that old liar Satan. We have over the years talked about the mark and what it would be. And the Bible even tells us where it will be. We may not know exactly what it is, but we know it's coming. But the Bible even tells us where it will be. And this is important, so please bear with me. Revelation chapter 13, and we'll start reading in verse 11. Now, don't get lost in the weeds. I'm going to get to the other end. Revelation 13:11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay. Now, remember this. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. The mark will be put in the right hand or in the forehead. We're going to come back to it in a second, so keep that thought. Think with me now for just a minute or two what this will cause when it's implemented. If the scripture we just read tells us, and it does, that if you don't take this mark, you can't buy, sell, or trade. Okay? If you can't buy, sell, or trade, for one thing, how will you get your medicine that you need? Many people in the world have health issues. We have great doctors, and we've made great strides in medicine and medical procedures. But if you can't buy, sell, or trade because you don't have a mark, where is that going to leave you? No doctor to go to when you get sick. If you cannot buy, sell, or trade, you're going to starve. Think about that one for a second. Most people today don't have the ability to raise all they eat. And if you do have the ability to raise everything you eat, and you're not ready when this comes, it does take a little bit of time to grow crops. Cows, pigs, things of that nature that our ancestors used to put up, can, smoke, cure, to survive on. I can remember those days when we used to kill hogs and put them in the old smokehouse and cure them. It was one of the few ways that they had of preserving meats, but that takes time. What about our water supply? Have you ever thought about that one? Is there anybody in here that has an old hand-dug well still? You know, back in the day we were talking about, I've drawn many a bucket of water out of an old hand-dug well. Some of the best water I ever drank in my life come out of one of them old wells. But to the best of my knowledge and what I see around in my travels, there's not any of them left. They've all been filled in. Went from that to drilling wells and putting in electric pumps, which was one of the marvels of, I guess, the greatest thing that ever happened is to have running water in the house. One of the things. Excuse me. But now we have this thing that's called city water. It's even better, right? If the electric goes off, we still have water. That's amazing. But what if the electric goes off? Then what are you going to do? How about your lights? Your refrigerator? Remember that thing? Your freezer? If all the food you have left is frozen and the power goes off, what do you do then? People be lining up to get the mark so that they can work, so that they can buy, so that they can survive. Oh, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I believe that when this mark is mandatory, we that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not be affected by it. But what about those that don't know Jesus? If you remember back in our series on the church, I believe wholeheartedly that the church is still here on this earth to tell people about Christ. He is the only hope that we have. It's kind of a dark sermon, I understand that, but there's hope because the light of God is still here. And it's up to you and I to spread the light. People, many, many people at that time of the mark of the beast will be led to the trough like sheep to the slaughter. And they won't know any different unless we tell them now. Now, I know there's a lot out there that are listening on Facebook and probably even some here that's going to disagree or not agree at least with what I'm about to say, but please listen. Think with me for just a moment. Masks. Okay? Now, you can do your own research and you can do your own thinking. You're smart people. And decide for yourself what you think about the effectiveness of masks. You can hear opinions on both sides about their effectiveness in prevention of disease spread. That's not what this sermon's about. You can make up your own mind about that. I'm not going to judge you one way or the other, but that's a lot of the things that are being talked about right now. What if you couldn't go anywhere or buy anything without a mask? It's being talked about as we speak. Some of you are having this will think that that's what we should be doing anyway, but listen for just a minute or two. How much control at that point will the government have over everyone? And I'm not talking about the mark yet. I'm just talking about the mask. How much control? I went and got my hair cut the other day, and my barber told me, he said, you know, if I don't wear a mask while I'm cutting your hair and the government health inspector comes in, he will shut me down and put me out of business. That's control. That's also what the mark is. It's all about control. How much control will the government have if that's put into effect tomorrow? Or big business as we know it decides to implement it on their own. Already, in some states, not just one, several. In one particular, though, you can be fined $1,000 if you're seen out in public without a mask. Now, this sermon's not about masks. I really don't want to even get... that's not what it's about, one way or the other. The science behind masks and this debate on whether it's effective or not will go on for years. And I don't think we'll probably ever know the real truth because there's so many things out there. But here's where I'm going. If they could control us so much, what's it going to be like when the mark of the beast comes on? They can tell us not to go to church. Did you know that that's what California said, that you can't go to church? It's too dangerous. Can't get a haircut without an appointment or a mask. Ask your barber or beautician if they... you just ask them yourself next time you go see them. If they're caught without a mask doing your hair, what happens to them? It's control. Take away their means of income. That's what happens to them, thereby effectively removing their ability to buy. But you can write without a mask if you so want to, nothing said. You can go to the bars without a mask, nobody cares. But they don't want us to go to church. Because then we have a few old hard-headed preachers that will stand up here and tell you that this is all leading up to the time of the mark of the beast. Oh, the mask is not the mark, and I understand that, but the mark is coming. You know how I know? Because God told us it was in His Word. It's all about control. Now, if you don't agree with me... that's fine. Well, I try to base what I preach on what comes out of the Bible wholeheartedly and 100%. I want to read an article I found that came out of Michigan. You can look it up for yourself after a while. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read part of it, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit more about it in a minute. All right. Michigan passes controversial bill to microchip humans voluntarily to protect their privacy. That's the heading, okay? They're hiding it. They're pushing it to protect your privacy. Here's what the article says. The Michigan House of Representatives has passed a controversial bill to microchip humans voluntarily in the state under the guise of protecting their privacy. The Microchip Protection Act would allow Michigan employers to use microchipping of their workers with their consent, still not mandatory, with their consent. However, research has shown that RFID transponders causes cancer. Okay, I continued the article. The plan to microchip humans is sponsored by Representative Brawna Kale, under the guise of protecting the privacy of workers. The stated objective of the bill is that it will protect the privacy rights of Michigan workers and promote further growth for job providers as it relates to microchipping, a cutting-edge technology on the rise that increases workplace efficiencies. She said, and I quote, "With the way technology has increased over the years and as it continues to grow, it is important Michigan job providers balance the interest of the company with their employees' expectations of privacy. Microchipping has been brought up in many conversations as companies across the country are exploring cost-effective ways to increase workplace efficiency. While these miniature devices are on the rise, so are the calls of workers to have their privacy protected," unquote. The article continues. Radio frequency identification tags, commonly referred to as microchips, are beginning to seep into the marketplace as two new technological devices to help streamline everyday business practices. The chips, roughly the size of a grain of rice, are implanted into the hands of employees and act as a replacement for ID badges, time cards, usernames, and passwords, for security clearance, and even credit cards. Now, you can look up the article. I'm not reading from it right now, and read the rest of it. And there's pictures that go along with it. One of the pictures that I saw was an x-ray of a human hand with a microchip implanted in it. And guess where it was at? It was in the right hand. Is that the mark of the beast? I don't think it is, but I think it's leading to it. It's not mandatory yet. They're still working on the technology, but I want you to know that the technology exists for them to transition, the world to transition, for our government to transition, our employers to transition to that now. That ought to scare the pants off of all of us Christians. And here's why. I believe that the time that the church has here on this earth is short, very short. I'm not trying to prophesy that Jesus is coming back tomorrow or next week or even next year or even 100 years from now. I don't know. That's up to God. But we're at the time and place in our history that it could be implemented tomorrow. It could happen. Do you remember the scripture we read earlier? The right hand? In Bible teachings and throughout, we see that the right hand is referred to as the hand of power. If you just think for a minute, where's Jesus sitting now? He's sitting on the right hand of God, the right hand of power. This is Satan, I think, implementing his power. The article goes on to say that the plan to chip humans globally through a digital ID was exposed to the Italian Parliament. Sarah Cuneo, I know I'm not pronouncing the name right, the member of Parliament for Rome, denounced Bill Gates as a vaccine criminal and urged the Italian president to hand him over to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. She also exposed Bill Gates' agenda in India and Africa, along with the plans to chip the human race through the digital identification program labeled ID 2020. Think about that for a second. Now, I went through all this knowing that some parts of it, maybe some will not agree with anything I've said so far this morning. Read the article, make up your own mind. Look, open your eyes, Christian brother and sister, at the things that are going on in the world today. That's what I'm saying. I'm not advocating wearing or not wearing masks. That's up to you. I'm not saying that this chip is the mark of the beast, but I believe it could be leading up to it. Here's what I know. Technology exists right now as we speak to implement this. And it's high time that Christians, born-again believers, tell people that the only hope we have is not through the government, it's not through the CDC, it's not through some immunization program, it's through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the message that needs to be getting out. That's what the world's not hearing, and that's why the church is still here. Many are already pushing for this RFID technology to be used to combat identity theft, which is the fastest growing crime in the world, identity theft. People that can steal your credit card numbers and bank accounts and do all these terrible things to you, even steal your house from you. So this is already being talked about for that as well. I read an article back a year or two ago here in this church about a company that was testing at that time this very thing to see if it would work for their company. And their employees were lined up by the droves volunteering to take this chip and to try it out. Think about this. We hear about a vaccine for COVID-19. That's all we hear about a lot if you listen to the mainstream news, how that hopefully we'll have a vaccine for it by the end of the year. Okay? What if they come up with a vaccine for COVID-19 and make it mandatory? If you don't have the vaccine, you can't go anywhere or do anything. And how are we going to know if you've had it or not? Brings up some interesting questions, don't it? Oh, well, maybe to make sure we all have it, we're going to insert this little RFID card in your hand. So all you have to do is scan it in front of the door, scan it in front of the whatever, pay for your food, whatever, purchase your groceries. If you don't get anything out of this sermon this morning, I want you to get this. I don't know all the answers and exactly what this mark will be like, but ask yourself this question. If any of what I said is true, and it is, I haven't made all this stuff up. I've done my due diligence and read the articles and searched. Could it be that close? I believe it could. I believe that we are that close to being able to implement the mark of the beast. A virus, which is a nasty virus, I'm not downgrading that at all, has killed many thousands of Americans, millions worldwide, could be the beginning of the implementation of the mark. Agree or disagree, that's up to you. But here's what is important. This is what's important. I believe with all of my heart that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing can ever take that from you. Not a mark, not a chip, not a virus. Nothing. You're safe and secure in the hands of Jesus Christ and His Father, God Almighty. Here's what's important. Accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. I've preached the sermon many times about security of the believer, and I'm not going back and preach it again. I've used the scriptures to back that up. Here's the options. You either accept Jesus Christ and spend eternity with God, or you reject Jesus Christ and spend eternity in hell, separated from God, in torment. I believe that if you willingly accept this mark, that you will be thrown into hell along with Satan and his cohorts, the eternal hell. And I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it. So beware, Christian. Beware, lost person. Don't take the mark. Well, how can I know? Except Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Revelation chapter 19. Beginning in verse 19. Excuse me. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's Jesus Christ, by the way, and his army is the church. We talked about that, I believe, last week. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Kind of scary, isn't it? It's easily avoided. So I went through everything I went through today to tell you that, yes, we live in a scary world, and yes, this mark of the beast is scary, this virus is scary, and the things that are going on worldwide is kind of daunting. Maybe even a little depressing if we let it be. But here's what I want you to know. It's easily avoided. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't have to worry about any of it. It's vital that preachers stand in pulpits and preach that the only hope this world has is Jesus Christ. It's not a mark, it's not a chip, it's not a mask, it's not a vaccine. The only thing that works is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Open your eyes and see that Satan is hard at work. I believe that our time here on this earth, church, born again believer, is short. How short? I don't know. But it's short. Look at the signs. I believe that the Antichrist could be alive and well on this earth as we speak, awaiting the second coming of Jesus Christ. How many of us know someone that's not saved? How many of us have loved ones who are not in church and are not hearing the Word of God preached? How important is that to us today, church? Is it important enough to take a few minutes out of your very busy schedule to go and tell them about Jesus Christ before it's too late? You see, I think that's part of the problem as well. And we've all bought into it. We want our things. We want them now. And when we get them, we have to work day and night to keep them. I'm guilty as anybody else of that. But you see, the busier we are, the less time that we have to tell people about Jesus. We come home tired from work. It's hard in this little sun and heat. You come home drained, and all you want to do is sit down in the air conditioner with a cold glass of tea or water or Diet Mountain Dew, if you will. That's what I like. And relax. How important is this stuff to us, Christian brother and sister? It's here. It's here. Listen, please listen. If you're hearing this sermon, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on YouTube, or whether it's here in this sanctuary this morning. Be honest with yourself. Search your heart. Ask yourself this. Do I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior? Salvation is an emotional experience, yes. I've never felt like that in my life when I walked that aisle and gave my heart to Jesus. But it's also a conscious decision that you must make. It's a decision that you have to come to on your own as the Spirit draws you, that you have to decide, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's more than just knowing that He's the Son of God. It's that conscious decision to accept Him before it's eternally too late. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I was scared to death. I just knew. I woke up. One day I come to this realization. It was the Spirit of God leading me. I came to this realization that if I died, I was going to hell. And I didn't want to go there. And I was afraid. I was scared until I accepted Jesus. I want you to know something, friend. I've never been scared about dying since, because I know whom I've believed. Do you have that same salvation experience? Can you go back to it? Do you know it's real? That's the only hope we have. That's the only hope we have. Don't get it wrong. Are you saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ? And if you are, then much of what I've talked about this morning, you're not going to have to endure. You're not going to be presented with. But what about our loved ones? What about those that don't know Jesus? The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from the mark of the beast. Saved from the lake of fire and brimstone. Saved from eternal separation to God. If I'm wrong, which I'm not, but if I'm wrong, what have you lost? But if I'm right, what have you gained? The choice is yours. God has already paid for your admittance into heaven. He paid through the best thing that He could give us, part of Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you and I to save us from everything that's happening in the world today. He promised us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. That promise still holds. Come to know Jesus today before it's too late. And rest assured and have peace that He's coming back to get us. I know this is a heavy sermon. It's a scary sermon. But God thought we needed to know it enough till He put it in His Word. Listen. Please listen. Time is short. Don't put off salvation. You may not get another chance. Read the Scripture. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He leads you to understanding. If the Spirit of God is drawing you to salvation this morning, don't brush Him off. Don't allow Satan to distract you. Make the right decision. Make the right choice. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven, washed as clean as the new fallen snow, so that we can spend eternity with God. You make the choice this morning. Well, I want to think about it. I want to put it off. guess what? You've just made a choice. You've chosen to reject the call of God. You might want to rethink that. We may not get another chance. You make the choice. Choose wisely. Accept Jesus before it's too late. Today truly is the day of salvation. Today truly is the time that we need Jesus Christ more than ever before. This world needs Jesus. I want to ask you to stand with me, if you would please, for a word of prayer. Those of you out there in Facebook land, thank you for joining us. Reach out to us if you want to talk, if you've received Jesus. Right there where you're at, you can kneel. You don't have to be here. You can kneel right there where you're at and accept Jesus into your heart. Lord, as we pray, please pray that prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful for your word. Lord, as we look around the world and we see the fulfilling of these prophecies and the things that are out there and that are coming, I thank you, Lord, for giving us the word that we might realize that time is short. Most especially, Lord, I thank you for paying the price for my sin, that when you sent Jesus and he died on that cross, that he died for me. And Lord, when I chose to follow you, I thank you for the assurance in my heart and in my soul that no matter what happens to me in this life, it's nothing compared to what's going to be like in eternity. I pray, Lord, for the lost. I pray, Lord, that you would convict their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to the understanding that they need Jesus in their lives. Lord, as we face times of hardship right now today, there is truly only peace through Jesus Christ. I pray, as always, for our nation and our leaders of it. Lord, most especially, I pray for the lost. If there's any out there this morning, convict them, that they won't receive you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Page 187.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. Desire a new life to begin.
Let Jesus come into your heart.
Just now your doubtings.
If you're a little bit intimidated by walking out, cameras are off. Just reach out and touch someone next to you. They'll walk down with you. Everybody here wants you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Let Jesus come into your heart.
Although I know this is a heavy sermon this morning, but it's a sermon filled with hope.